are listening to the Cleveland Guardians Fancast, hosted by Quincy Wheeler and friends, a podcast about the Cleveland professional baseball team and its fans.
It's Quincy. Welcome to Guardians Fancast. I'm here with my friend Ryan from Twitter. Ryan, how you doing?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Good. Ryan, you can find him at R-Y-A-W-I-L-L-I on Twitter if you want to get Ryan's baseball takes as well as some other takes here and there. Ryan reached out to me, and I'm always glad to talk to anybody who would like to talk about Guardians baseball. I decided a while back to stop bugging people about it. Every now and then somebody will bug me about it, which is nice. And I always like to talk. What's going on, Ryan, with you and the Cleveland Guardians?
Oh, man. I don't know. Kind of rationalizing, I guess, the reality that this season became, kind of identifying, oh man, I guess the larger holes that maybe we thought were not as big, but maybe now I'm thinking are bigger than what we thought. And then kind of looking forward to 24.
Yeah, that's pretty much where we're all at right now. Looking forward to 2024, I think. And maybe hoping that the Guardians get a good draft pick, which was is very NFL fan of us, which is unusual. But at this point, not like you expect a draft pick to change anything for 2024, obviously, but for the future, getting somebody fairly high is where we are right now. I mean, you go out west and lose 3 or 4 to the Angels, bad, but losing 2 or 3 to the Giants when you very well could have swept that series also maybe hurts just about as bad. So
it's all hurting lately, I guess. I don't know, some bright spots. I think maybe looking at obviously everybody's talked about this already, but the starting pitching that we now see, I think, have a better idea of who they are and how they are, and I don't know, that makes me feel good about going into 24 with Allen and Thybe and Williams. And I'm still kind of looking at going, what can the other guys do? You know, I mean, as long as Espino's not dead, I think there's possibility that he can, you know, when he comes back, he can be pretty impactful. And so I wish we could see Joey Cantillo. I think that would be pretty cool too.
Yeah, Joey Cantillo's walk rates are making me feel a little bit better about not seeing him. But yeah, it's nice to see any of the young players. I think that would make all of us feel a little burst of excitement if we could see guys like Joey Cantillo, George Valera, John Kinsey Noel, Jonathan Rodriguez, who'd have to be added to the roster. But any of those guys, Juan Brito, any of those guys coming up and spending a little time in the majors would bring a little burst of excitement, but I suspect that's not going to happen. I think we're probably going to get a good dose of Cole Calhoun and Ramon Laureano for the rest of the year. Oh, you blinked out, Ryan. Are you back?
There we go. We're back. We're back in action.
I was just saying that bringing up any of the prospects that we all talk about would be exciting at this point and make the last couple weeks of the season a lot more interesting, but I suspect we're going to get a good dose of Cole Calhoun and Ramon Laureano instead. So
yeah, and we'll get to see Cam Gallagher.
Yes,
just absolutely impress us with every aspect of his game. I don't know, man. I think going into this season, coming off of 22, we all kind of thought like there was a lot of bright spots, and I think there still is. I just think that the holes are deeper, and then the regression of some of these dudes, that how they played was probably more than what we all expected. So I'm hoping that going into next season, that's going to kind of even itself out. But then I think about guys like Kyle Lanzardo or Valera, if they do come up, then, you know, how are they, they've got to adjust kind of like, you know, I mean, Bo had a slow start, but he's kind of seemed to have figured it out as of late. And I don't know. I think that's just a hallmark of a young team, right? No matter how good they are, it always seems to me like they're going to have kind of trials and tribulations until they kind of start to figure it out and gain that experience. But it, I don't know. No short of making us feel bad this year, though, for sure.
Yeah, you can see how people on and Guardians fandom are feeling right now as the Red Sox fire Chaim Bloom. Yeah. And I see a bunch of Guardians fans on Twitter saying, oh, we should hire him. That's how badly they feel about the front office. Nothing against Chaim Bloom, who's fine, I'm sure, but not really sure there's a real difference there between his approach versus Antonetti and Chernoff. They all come from a similar analytical background. Yeah, I mean, you mentioned guys that are bright spots, obviously, Bobby Williams and Allen. I think Bo Naylor is a huge bright spot right now. He's hitting so well. He's got such great approaches at the plate, and that's great to see. Like, he looks like a guy who could bat reasonably in the fifth or sixth hole, and you'd feel pretty darn good about it. So that's something. And, you know, it's one of those things that it's hard to figure out how to fix everything. So you hope that the front office has a good sense of that. And that's the thing. I don't know when's the last time I've seen them necessarily fix something. So I guess that's why there's some reason to be skeptical about if they can actually do it. Today I published a little article that was, or posted, I should say published, sounds more impressive than what I mean, but I was talking about like, obviously they need a couple bats for the lineup. I think that you feel a lot better about the team if they can add two bats to the lineup, and that makes it so that guys like Valera, Kenzie Noel, Jonathan Rodriguez, all these guys don't have to come up and perform right away. Mm-hmm. So if they add a couple bats, they for sure need to add at least one bat. I think we could all agree there. But two bats would make you feel pretty good about it. Then I think they need to try to add, if possible, they need to try to add a bullpen arm. Mm-hmm. I suspect they probably will try the usual route of finding a Michael Kelly or an Angel De Los Santos on waivers and turning them into something. But it would be nice, you know, if every day Chris Antonetti and Mike Chernoff were taking Ronaldo Lopez out for dinner and like explaining to him all the beautiful things about being, because it'd be great to hang on to him, but that's going to be expensive. I'm sure that they might not want to pay. It would be nice to get a depth starting pitcher. There's a lot of guys who are looking for like bounce back years. So I don't think I'd completely rule out that they could get a guy on like a pillow deal. You know, a guy like Lucas Giolito, I think Giolito probably gets 2 or 3 years, but there are other guys out there that have had a rough year coming back at injury that they could look at. And then of course they got to hire the right manager. And I think those are the four big things that they need to tackle in the off season.
Yeah. And I would agree. I think that they'll, in their own way, they're going to do all those things. Right. I hope. And I think just even last year, going after Sean Murphy and then it not happening, and then them trying to band-aid the situation with Zunino and sticking with Zunino probably a little too long. Okay, we can all agree it was a lot too long, but they made an effort. And same thing with Josh Bell. I don't think anybody really anticipated Josh Bell being as paltry as he was, or parish as he was, for those months. But I feel like they at least tried something. But you know, I think for the team to really contend, they're going to have to really kind of go outside of their comfort zone. They're going to have to start. I don't think that spending necessarily equates to winning, but I do believe that getting better players sometimes equates to spending more. And in that way, I think that they're going to have to do some of that, and they're going to have to be aggressive with trades. I think that they hold their prospect value, you know, and they're pretty staunch on it. I can understand that, but at the same time, I wonder what that's cost them in the long run. You know, they were after Matt Olson, they were after Sean Murphy, they've been after, I mean, multiple, and it never seems to fully click. And I just feel like now what we're up against is, now we've got a backlog of these middle infielders that for the most part, you know, I don't know, at least with me, and I know it's early, but I don't feel super, super impressed with some of the things I've seen. I really like that kind of what Arias had shown over the last few weeks. And then it kind of dwindled down, which is expected. But I don't know. You're right. They've got some questions to answer, and I think they're going to need to be more aggressive than they've been in previous off seasons to get some of these problems fixed.
Aggressive is a good word, and I think that is what fans would generally like to know happens with the front office, that they identify their target and are just aggressive enough to say, like, hey, we don't want to get beat on this guy. You know, we're not going to offer you the sun, moon, and stars, but we really want to be in on this, on these conversations. So let us be the, you know, aggressor in this situation. And it's hard to imagine that they are that, but we don't know. Were they the ones who were constantly on the phone about Matt Olson and they were given everything they wanted and then the A's just went in a different direction because the A's are idiots? I don't know. You know, people will say that, but I don't know.
Maybe both.
Maybe both. And then, you know, the other thing I think about is the Padres obviously went all in on Juan Soto. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that anybody really thinks the Guardians were that all in. But what would that look like? Like, how would things be different if Juan Soto was here batting behind Jose Ramirez? And say we had traded, you know, Tanner Bibee or Gavin Williams for them. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. But at some point, you basically have to, if you're not going to be able to develop the hitters, you have to target the guys that can actually solve the problem. And like you said, I don't think Zunino and Bell were bad signings. I mean, the only reason that Zunino was bad, apparently, is that thoracic outlet surgery isn't something that he came back from. And so I don't know if that's a medical team mistake where they evaluated the situation and said, hey, we think he's going to be fine. We think he'll be able to regain what he lost. And the medical team was wrong. I mean, that would be my leaning. And then Josh Bell, he pretty much is the same hitter in Miami as he was here. He just really got stuff to fall and to get into the seats in Miami that wasn't getting there here in Cleveland. So I think that was probably a pretty decent signing too. I don't know if that keeps them away from free agents now, but the other thing too is that there's not many great free agents this offseason. I've been recently convinced that Teoscar Hernandez might be a good signing. He's got elite run value against fastballs here. So he's a great right-hand hitter who crushes lefties. He's fine in the corner outfields. So that could be somebody they could pursue, but it's limited this offseason.
Yeah, it is, especially in the hit market. I think that, you know, you brought up Tito's leaving, and I was thinking about the other day how much it's going to affect other things, and I wonder, obviously, the staff in general, you know, and I'm not totally up on how it typically works when a new manager comes in. Does the entire suite of coaches and everything, or, you know, are they replaced? Are they kind of on notice, or how it works? But and I guess it's probably different for each one, but I think that's going to play into it a lot. It seems like a couple years ago that when they went, let go of Van Berkelio and went to Valleca, that they kind of solidified their contact first approach, and that they had kind of already had been drafting. It feels like they had kind of targeted those kinds of players in trades, and then they never really gave, it didn't feel like they gave too much of a look to guys that were traditionally a little bit more powered center or powered forward. And I feel like maybe they got burned by the Bobby Bradleys of the world or something like that, that they kind of shied away from, and they seem like they have a hard time developing it. But I wonder if, obviously, they're going to adapt in with that manager, find the manager that you would think would be in with their process. I just wonder, you know, what that fit looks like, and the approach the organization's had over the last couple of years has not yielded dramatically impressive offensive metrics. And, you know, to have a typically I would think that an analytically driven manager could also provide value in that way. And I think in that way, I would like two of them to mesh, but I just wonder how much they're going to be on board, you know, so, and finding that right person. So,
yeah, all good thoughts. I do, like you said, I do wonder how much turnover there might be depending on if they hire outside the organization. You know, they might be, I don't know what their mindset is right now. Is it to say, well, the last thing we need with a young team is to remove any level of stability. So we're going to promote from within. We're going to promote, you know, Mike Sarbaugh. We're going to promote Ruglis Odor or somebody like that. That could be their approach. Or they could be saying, we need a new voice. We need a fresh voice. We need outside perspective. We need somebody from another successful organization to come in and bring the knowledge and experience that they have. And if they go that direction, then I would imagine that they tell that manager, hey, this is your team. You got to figure out who you want here. And if you want Valaika gone, if you're ready to move on from Willis, that's what we're going to do. It would be hard to imagine whoever comes in wanting to do a lot with the pitching, considering how successful the Guardians pitching has been. Yeah. So I'd be surprised if they move on. Willis is an older guy, so he may be possibly saying, well, Tito's retiring, maybe I'm thinking about hanging it up too. So you never know. But any way you look at it, their pitching development and coaching has been so good that I doubt anybody messes with that much. But hitting and bench coach, and that could all be adjusted.
Yeah. And I don't know, man. I after last year, I would have said they're on to something. And then this year I'm thinking, I don't know. So maybe it would be refreshing to see a different approach, but I don't want to give, I'm not one to just automatically give up on something because it's been one bad year or, you know, a rough go at it. I think if they believe in it, and they're most, I would say that they're all smarter than me, but if they believe in this process, the only thing that really kind of makes me question the contact first thing, and I have no problem with the contact first thing, it's, do they truly believe that they can get power hitters out of these guys? If the philosophy is we got to get the contact first and then move them, we can get them to grow into power. I don't know if that's a proven process. And that seems like they're not proving it in Cleveland, you know, besides Hosey and maybe Josh. I don't know if, you know.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, you're right. Jose Ramirez and Josh Naylor would be guys who have developed some power after contact. But it would be interesting to see what their exit velocities were like in the minors, where both of them. Although Jose's probably not one to base things on because he's never really been average exit velocity guy. Like, he can hit the ball hard, but mostly he just pulls the heck out of everything and manages to get it to where it needs to be in the seats or down the line. So but Naylor would be an example, I think, of what they're trying to produce. Lindor they developed and is continuing to be that way. But yeah, dangerous to think that they can pull that off, I think. Do you have a preference in the, I know you mentioned Arias, do you have a preference in the shortstop race? Do you think that you're going to 24 with Arias?
That's a good question. I love Arias's arm. I love that he seems to fit in the clubhouse. They seem to kind of have a, you know, I don't know. I like his, how he's always smiling, and I kind of feel like there's, I don't know, I'm a big kind of like camaraderie dude. So I would probably lean to Arias just because I've, over the, like I said, last month, it was pretty, you know, he had a good little run there and he kind of demonstrated what he could do. Rocchio, I just don't know. I don't know. And maybe it's so early. I just, everything I've seen from him, I'm kind of like, well, I see a flash, but I can't. My vote would probably be Arias at this point. It seems like they've resigned themselves that Tyler Freeman is no longer in the running. For a while there, I really wanted to at least see how Tyler went, but I don't think that's in the cards for him.
I do wonder if it's the shoulder issue with him, if they just don't think he can play every day because of the shoulder stuff. But Yeah, I would tend to say the only thing that I'm pretty sure about is that Freeman is probably best used as a utility guy because probably won't hit quite enough to make it work otherwise, but should be fine coming off the bench and putting the bat to the ball. So yeah, I think that makes sense. Yeah, it's just way up in the air from Jose Tania absolutely destroying Columbus and making you wonder, well, what's there, to Arias showing a lot, but then, absolutely falling off the face of the earth at other times. And then Rocchio, obviously, I wouldn't read into anything in his past in the last week or so that he spent in the majors where he just struck out like 75% of the time. Because I think that's just a young player who's
Yeah,
lost, just
that makes
trying to
sense
find
too.
it and pressing. And that makes total sense for a 22-year-old to do that. But and it doesn't fit with anything he did in the minors. Whenever you see a guy like striking out 50% of the time, whose highest strikeout rates in the minors are like 17%, okay, that's not going to happen. I think the question with Rocchio is to whether he'll find the power that he showed in Akron because he couldn't show it in Columbus. I think with him, I always remember how in the pandemic he was stuck in Venezuela, and then he came back the next year and had his best season in the minors. And that shows you somebody who is super motivated, hardworking, doesn't need anybody to hold their hand. And everybody talks about how smart he is. So I feel like he'll probably figure it out. And that's the way I lean is towards Rocchio. But it would be nice if one of them this season had said, "Hey, it's definitely me, guys. Don't
Yeah,
worry anymore."
like make it where none of us have an argument the other way. And I think that would be good for the organization because we could finally move on and use those guys as obviously, I don't know if any of them are going to be centerpiece. I don't think any of them would be centerpieces in a trade, but they could definitely be a tertiary piece to, trying to find something else, and whether that's a reliever or putting something toward a, I don't know. I think it was last week, and Mizell was saying, I think that Laureano or Kwan needed to be our third best outfielder. And I think he's, if that was him that said it, whoever said it, they were 100% correct. And going out and finding those two guys, I don't know. It just feels like to me, we need to use all the resources we can, and we need to stop delaying the inevitable, right? Because it's like the longer we go, if we find, but at the same time, then you know what you have. It just feels like maybe that's the frustration that we're all feeling about this season, was because I feel like if we hadn't have played Ahmed every day for 4 months, then we would have already known about one of these guys. We wouldn't be going into this going, well, let's see in spring training, let's see. And I would just like to know, I think, but at the same time, I realize that it takes time. I just, if there is ample depth, or at least one or two that we could get, move on away from to better another position, I would be totally and 100% on board with that.
Yeah, I think actually these last couple of weeks, although it'll be tough as Guardians fans considering how the team is playing and that that the playoffs are out of the picture. I think that something that's pretty darn important will be seeing how Bieber and McKenzie bounce back from their rehab starts, and their bullpens, and as they ramp up intensity. If McKenzie's out there giving all he's got and he feels good about his elbow, that's a great sign for next year. At the same time, like you're gonna have to constantly be afraid that it just might snap and he just might have to get Tommy John. But if he can throw with intensity and feel good about it, that'll make you feel good about the offseason. And I will say to people, I don't think that the Guardians can make a significant upgrade without probably touching some of their young starting pitching. And I don't know that they will. Obviously, if you get a team that absolutely loves Logan Allen and is willing to trade you and has a surplus of outfielders, maybe that's something you can do. Like, obviously, the Orioles, the Cardinals, those come to mind. If one of those teams absolutely loves Logan Allen, is like, "Hey, we're going to give you this guy who's got potential to be a 3-4-1 outfielder for Logan Allen," then you could see that kind of move. But I don't know how likely that is. And it does leave you still a little bit exposed because I don't think Cantillo's ready Doug Nikhazy just got destroyed in his one of his last outings for the year. And there's nobody until Espino hopefully comes back healthy and gets himself back in game shape, ready to come and save you. So if Bieber and McKenzie aren't healthy, I think that you're again looking at like the Taylor Ward trade, the Teoscar Hernandez signing as the ceiling of what you can do this offseason.
Yeah, which would not be the definitely would not be the outcome that I would so want. But you know, I don't think we don't want any of them hurt or injured. But I don't know, the Bieber thing to me, the longer I go, and I think at the beginning of the year when he got hurt. No, it was the beginning when he was just kind of pitching with a level of non Bieberness, you know, it was kind of some struggles there. And getting used to how he pitches after he got injured. I think that, I don't know, his kind of trade value was moving down. Then he obviously got hurt. Well, now I kind of wonder what that trade value is going to even look like, if there is any there that's substantial. And if you can, you know, hang on to him and he's good for us next year and say we're looking at a playoff run, they can just keep him, you know, obviously the comp pick. But, and that would, to me, that would be a good thing, because that would put, it would relieve, it could either open up getting rid of one of those young starters, or it could solidify the rotation. And I don't know, I think everybody was kind of like, Bieber's gone. And now Bieber's still not gone. And Bieber's stock, in my opinion, is probably, you know, waned significantly. But I don't know, it's all about timing. We'll just have to see how it goes.
Yeah, well said.
Yep.
Well, it's fun to talk ball with you, Ryan, and it's always fun to interact with you on Twitter and hear your thoughts on things. I know we both share faith and love for Jesus, so that always helps us through the difficult times in any Absolutely. Part of life, whether it's silly things like baseball or other things like real life problems. I always remember that baseball is very small potatoes in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah.
But whenever life is there, Jesus is there for us, and there's always redemption possible. So I try to think about this season as setting us up for a great redemptive arc. You know,
and the fact that we are just blessed to watch Ozzy and just, there's always something. So
how about that homer against the Giants? He absolutely demolished that. Sometimes I kind of like it when he's in these little bit of ruts, which he pulled out of the rut that he was in. He's been hitting pretty well over the past week, but when he finally hits that home run after a rut, you can see it and everything about it. It's like,
you know? Yeah. Yeah. And there's like that precipice right before he gets out of it, you know, where he's just mad and he'll bang a bat, you know, or he'll shake his head, you know,
yeah.
And you just feel like, man, he's so close. And then you see it come around, but,
hopefully, man, he'll have a fun last couple weeks here and maybe
hit. I know. I hope so too. I hope that they all can kind of go into the season or to the off season knowing that there's definitely potential. And I think that they all believe there's potential. And Hosey wouldn't be there if he didn't, you know. And I think that there's just a lot of good things to come. We just got to figure it out. And I hope that they will.
Stay optimistic. That's good. Yep. All right. Well, fine. Ryan on Twitter for as long as Twitter survives, and you can
X,
do that
X.
At X, yeah, at RYAWILLI. And Ryan, hope you have a great rest of your day, and wish you and your family well.
You too, buddy. Talk to you later.
Okay.
This has been the Cleveland Guardians Fancast. You can find us on any major podcast platform. Please remember to like, subscribe, download, rate, and review. Thank you for listening.